This is the State of Things live from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. What is Greensboro doing to increase affordable housing? The city's mayor, Nancy Vaughn, says Greensboro's lack of affordable safe housing is the city's number one crisis. Researchers estimate there are about 26,000 people living in the city that pay more than 30% of their monthly salary for rent, and that is where experts draw the line for those who are considered rent burdened. This summer, the city of Greensboro is planning to sue the 10 landlords with the highest number of housing code violations. These companies have racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines, so the question is, will the strategy work? Richard Barron is the city government reporter for the Greensboro News and Record, and he joins us now. Welcome back, Dick. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
So tell us about this lawsuit.
Well, the city has determined that at least 10 landlords owe millions of dollars in inspection fines. And what that is when you get an inspection of a substandard housing, each violation accrues a fine daily. There is one company that's associated with the Agapian family that owes at least $700,000 in back fines, which have not been collected by the city. The city has kind of pushed this off over the years. And now the current mayor and current city council have decided they've had enough with housing violations, with repairs being strung out over the months and years. And so they're going to take these landlords to court probably in July to demand that they pay these fines.
Well, now a concerned citizen might say tens of thousands of dollars would be where I would say I've had enough. Why did it go so long?
Well, people tell me, and I haven't done the hardcore research on this, but there were city councils without the political will. There were inspectors who were overloaded with the work. It's easy to hand out a violation. It's not so easy to then collect the money that they owe. So it has become a kind of a pass it off to the next administration kind of thing.
All right. So it sounds like the responsible thing to do to collect this money that's owed the city. But how does that solve the affordable housing problem?
Well, it doesn't solve it, but it does encourage these companies to repair their housing, get a lot of it back online. A lot of these houses, apartments, I should say, are condemned, and when they're condemned, no one can live there. And so if they are repaired and brought up to code, then ostensibly people can move back in, and there's more housing stock on the market, affordable housing that keeps people under the 30% rent burden, as the U.S. Census says there's so many here.
All right. And so the other part of this is, you say some of these units are condemned, you can't live there. Others perhaps should be condemned, and people are living there, and the city is now citing the health effects of some of these under standard units. Tell us more about that.
Well, a lot of research has been done at UNCG and in the health industry showing that houses that are substandard with leaky roofs, mold, insects, and all the problems that these bad houses have are creating exacerbating asthma in children and in people, other health effects, and they've correlated that substandard housing and housing violations relate directly to emergency room visits and other health problems. And so if you can solve the problem of the bad housing, you can ultimately solve health issues that the residents face.
And you can see the cascade effect. I'm in over my head. I'm paying perhaps 50% of my income in rent, which is well more than is recommended, meaning I've got a lot less money left over. I'm probably not saving much money.
Right.
So I don't have much of a cushion. So if I have to take time off from work, I could be in a vulnerable position. I can't afford to take time off, could be fired. It's time in the hospital, can't afford the medicine. It's a cascade effect.
Yeah, it cascades like that. So it's not just asthma, but it's stress-related illnesses for having to live with bad repair in your house, a broken window, a leaky roof, plumbing that doesn't work. And so there are stress-related illnesses, and as you said, there are income-related problems that come from having trouble paying for your housing. Is it medicine this month or rent?
Let's take a look, step back, and talk about how serious a problem it is. Mayor Nancy Vaughn says number one crisis, number one problem facing the city. Give us a picture. What's the story about affordable housing in Greensboro?
Well, for so many years after the recession, a lot of construction took a dip. Companies were unable to take the risk to build. Now they are building, but they're not building housing, both single family and apartments, fast enough to keep up with the demand. We've not been growing as quickly as Raleigh or Charlotte, but we are growing, and so more people need places to live. The other problem is that people who build apartments are finding that it's easier and not much more expensive to build luxury apartments. And so affordable apartments are not number one on the builder's list. It's not that they're bad people, it's just that for a little bit more per apartment unit, you can charge a lot more per month and get a bigger return.
Yeah, let's stick with the business economics here, because this proves that the market cannot provide low and modest income housing. It can't do it. It's not designed to. Talk a little bit about that, those margins, those marginal differences between a luxury apartment and, say, a modest income apartment.
Well, let's say you've spent, let's just say, for example, it's $150,000 per unit to build an apartment building. You can spend $10,000 more and put granite countertops and things that will yield you an $1,100 or $1,200 a month rent for that apartment, whereas an affordable place, even for working class people, can be as high as $700 or $800, but there's a $300 or $400 a month difference for very little extra outlay.
So these builders are looking for capital. Nobody is going to take a smaller return on investment when they can have a larger return on investment. That's what they're looking at. So that's what the market is demanding. The market is speaking. We won't build these houses because we can't afford to. Not to mention the boom and bust in the housing industry. If you're a builder, you know that when the getting's good, you got to make money now, because you could be facing an 18-month to 2-year slump, and those are regular. They're a part of the cycle, and you have to prepare for that. So I've got to get the big margin now for the slump that's inevitable. If that's what the market says, it means there has to be a kind of public input if you're going to meet demand. So my question is, what's the city doing about that in terms of finding the capital to actually put new stock on the market?
Well, the city right now has a $25 million housing bond on the books, and they are slowly beginning to spend that money. And what happens there is, if I'm a private developer, I will get either a city loan or some city participation in my project. I'll put in a lot more of my own money. It'll be called a public-private partnership, and the city has what they call leveraging that money. So they may be putting in $10 million for $100 million worth of construction. But as housing advocates and authorities say, we're not going to be able to build our way out of this problem. As you mentioned, 26,000 families who are rent burdened. We keep harping on that phrase, but you think about the number of apartments that would have to be built to cover those folks.
Well, and that's the 26,000 who are paying too much. And then
right.
There are the people who are crammed together, and then there are
right.
people without housing at all, right? And so when you start to put those numbers together, do we know how Greensboro, because I know this is a national problem. We're sitting here talking to you because you're doing the research in Greensboro. This is happening all over the country. But how does Greensboro compare, do you know?
Greensboro has a very, I think you can measure it through the vacancy rate in apartments, and Greensboro has a very low, I believe, only 3 or 4% of all apartments are even available right now. I'm told that the Greensboro Housing Authority, which provides low-income housing and vouchers, has a waiting list of 10,000 people, and there's very little turnover. Once someone gets a low-income apartment, or I'm sorry, a low-cost apartment, they don't typically leave. And so Greensboro has as great a shortage as any city does in...
When you talk about 10,000 people on a waiting list, where are they waiting? Where are those people?
They're waiting in apartments they can barely afford. They're waiting on their family's couch. Yeah. A few of them are homeless. They're just hoping for a better place that they can live, that they can afford.
And this leads us to the other leverage problem, which takes us back to those fines and substandard housing where some landlords have gotten away with for quite a while. And that is, if you're in one of these places and the rent is fairly low, you might not want to complain.
Well, you might not want to complain. And the other issue is, even when you're one of the council members noted the other night at a meeting, even when your apartment is being repaired, you have to live there and put up with those repairs. It's just not an easy solution. It's not an easy situation to fix if you are a tenant in one of those apartments. And of course, if it's condemned after you complain, then you have to move out.
And then we're not sure, because again, with that kind of pressure on housing, it's likely that that if we replace that building, it's not going to be at the rent levels that that were there while that building was standing. Dick Barron is city government reporter for the Greensboro News and Record, and you can find links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Dick, thanks for your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Just ahead, we're going to take a look at the history of the special prosecutor in American politics. But first, you're going to hear the music of Barefoot Modern on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Barefoot Modern.
Call it a bad rim. Call it an attractive addiction. For 5 minutes I was feeling kind of lonely. My conscience whispers and wireless. I got that liable lifestyle. My feet have started to burn. Stay where I am and say that you wouldn't, but wait till it's your turn.